Hello, everyone. Let's let people come on in and then we'll get started. It has been a stormy day today here in Nashville, so my fingers are crossed that everything is working, that everything stays working. Hello, Heather Parrish. And that, you know, Zoom just holds it together for the next couple of hours. So should the power go out, y'all just be still. I'll be back as soon as I can, okay? Hey, everyone. Hello, hello. All right. You guys know how this works. If you want to be coached, raise your hand. If you want to ask me a question, you can put it in the Q&A. If you want to talk to each other, you can talk in the chat. Make sure, here's a tip for you. At the bottom of the chat where it says two, where you type your message, if you select all panelists and attendees, then everyone on the call can see your chat message. Okay. I don't check the chat much. It kind of pops up on me, but I usually close it out so it doesn't distract me too much. You guys are welcome to talk. But if you need me, remember you need to raise your hand or you need to put in the Q&A. All right. So Amaka is here and she has her hand raised. So let's see what you got. And that's the only hand that's raised, y'all. Just Amaka. So.
Okay. I'm back.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Yep. Been a little MIA for a little bit.
I'm liking the hair.
Yeah, it's for my brother's wedding this Saturday, so just getting it ready to go.
Well, you look good. You look good. How are you?
I'm okay. I just finished my show on Friday, so I'm kind of like coming off that like stress and everything. So I'm a little tired. But,
is that the only thing you felt about doing that show was stressed?
I felt stress. I'm not sure if the word is regret, but I felt like I could have done a better job.
Okay, so you should have gone imperfect. Is that what you're telling me? For your first show?
I just feel like I didn't put my foot down for things as much as I wanted to. At a certain point, I started just saying, like, I don't care, whatever decision you make. Okay. And then at that point, I started feeling bad because I know that that's not what I would have wanted.
All right, so let's just coach on that for just a minute. Just for a second. Just let me have my, because you know I've got something to say here. Just like doing your assessment for your weight, if you were to go back and do an assessment on this show without regret and without judgment, you would have a laundry list of things to take into the next show that you know you would want to change.
Yeah.
Level. Right?
Yeah.
If you could like set aside the regret and the self-judgment and I should haves and all that kind of stuff, you would actually have some really good takeaways to apply to the next time you do this, right?
Yeah.
So how about just go there instead of, well, I wish and I should and all that stuff, right?
Because I don't know how to...
Yes, like, you do. Stop saying you don't know how.
I haven't mastered the art of the thinking. I always go straight to the negative, and it's still something that I'm struggling with.
Okay, so then do this. I'm going straight to the negative. I see that, right? This is my habit. I'm good with it. That's what I do. I go to the negative. Now I'm going to go to the positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, because honestly, Amaka, you're not the only one. I do the same thing. Everybody does. It's easy. It's really, really easy to go, well, you know, that didn't work out so well. Maybe I should quit. Because that, you know, when when things feel a little hard,
yeah,
you know, it's super easy to say, maybe I shouldn't do that, right? Rather than saying, I can do hard things. I can figure this out. I can make this list. I can do better next time. I've got all these things waiting for me.
Yeah. I need to work on that because that's holding me back. And just in general, even I'm taking a sketch class, and someone made a comment about my sketch, which will require me changing a major part, and I felt like down the rest of the night, and I binged because I was just like, well, I suck. I shouldn't be doing this. This is embarrassing. I had the worst sketch of the night.
So if they had said, Amaka, this is the best sketch ever, would you have gone, no, it's not. There's this and this and this wrong. What do you mean? Best sketch ever wrong.
Well, not the best, but like the things that they said were not things that I would have wanted to change. But I felt like, oh no, my ideas, I spent like doing it for the past 7 weeks were kind of a waste. And now that I have the people who are going to be acting in it, my vision was totally off. And so then I start.
It's so funny you say this. You know, Corinne challenges us as team members to come up with ideas. Okay.
So she does it on purpose, possibly. No, just, she'd be like, what are you guys doing? No.
No, kidding. She does. She's like, you guys are, you know, you see the tribe, you talk to the tribe, you know, just like I do. You know, what ideas do you have? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I bet you 1 out of 50 ideas that I have, does she take?
Yeah.
It's all because, and it's not because it's her business. It's because we all have this filtering mechanism. She's way up here with her knowledge of how to run this business and what the content should be. I'm way down here and I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
So if I come up with some cockamamie idea, she's like, that's a no. Can you hear her? That's a no. I have to just say, okay, I'm learning. I'm figuring this out, you know, and I take what she tells me and then I can go ahead and say, all right, well, that didn't work. So maybe let's shift it around and try this. Mm-hmm. That's all you're doing. Someone is just evaluating you and giving you feedback, not to beat you down, but to give you an opportunity to level up because they have some experience in what they're teaching that you don't have yet.
Yeah.
You make it mean I'm never going to get this, right? Because it's that all or nothing thinking that you have. So if you can, I want you everywhere you have. Do you have a pack of post-it notes?
Not right next to me, but I do.
I want you to write and put in every room of your house on one post-it note. Feedback is an opportunity to learn. I swear to you, for like a year, I had that stuck all over my house because every time I got feedback from her, I went straight in the toilet. I'll never get this. I'm a terrible coach. I don't know why I'm even working here. All the things that you're doing. But once I practiced feedback as an opportunity to learn enough, and I began to apply it when I got feedback. When I got feedback and she, you know, told me what to rewrite or what to redo or whatever, my brain would go straight to, oh, I'll never get this. And I would have to say, no, feedback is an opportunity to learn. Say it out loud. Tell yourself, you know, that thought, the ugly thought's going to come in. You just have to go back out and say, no, this is what I'm going to think today. Feedback is an opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Promise you, if you practice it, it will stick.
Okay.
And then you'll be more open to it and you'll be seeking it because you want to get better and better. It was a huge shift for me.
Yeah.
So is that why you got on the call tonight?
No. No, I finally wrote a protocol with Betsy.
Yeah. But
I'm still eating off plants. Therefore, it's not. I haven't found a realistic protocol yet.
So, is it the protocol you're not following, or your daily plan you're not following, or both?
My daily plan.
Okay. So, do you know the difference between a protocol and a plan?
You will tell me right now.
No is an okay answer. I just want to be sure we're using the same words, okay, and we have the same understanding. So your protocol is that list of rules or constraints or whatevers that you follow as you create your plan. All right, so that would be, for me, I eat all these proteins, I eat all these fats, I eat all these, you know, a list of things, okay? if you eat all of everything, then everything is on your protocol.
Yeah.
But if you are a no sugar, no flour person, then you don't have any sugar and flour on your protocol. Okay. If you are a vegetarian, you don't have any meat on your protocol.
Yeah.
All right. But you have potatoes and rice and barley and breads and, you know, all the other, you know, carbs, or you have all the fruits.
Yeah.
Beets are not on my protocol. Okay. Because I hate beets.
So then I'm not following my protocol.
So then you have exceptions to your protocol. So all the fuel foods, all the things that you put on your plan every day are on your protocol. Then you have exceptions. For me, exceptions are french fries and ice cream and cake and dessert. And no, beets are nowhere. And beer and wine and things like that are exceptions for me. Okay?
Yeah.
Your daily plan is what you're going to eat each day. Okay? And if it's realistic, it might have protocol and exception foods on it until you know that you can commit to the plan.
Yeah.
All right? So are you eating, are you not following your plan every day? Is that the problem?
I don't think I'm following my I'm not following my plan every day.
Okay. So is it realistic?
I guess not, but then
give me an example. Tell me what, did you follow today's plan? Okay. Tell me what the plan was.
I have my 24-hour plan over there. Give me one second.
Okay.
I know for breakfast I make these oatmeal energy ball thing because I like to eat that instead of eating actual oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee. I had leftover wonton soup, so it's either that or rice, okay, and corn.
Wait. Back up. So breakfast was the oatmeal things, oatmeal energy things. That was the plan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And lunch was what?
It's supposed to be either wonton soup or just like a rice, bean, and corn mix thing. So I had two options.
Or rice, bean thing. Okay. Dinner?
I was supposed to go into the city for something. So I put two glasses of wine, mm-hmm, and cheese, and then but if I didn't go, I was going to have ramen, just something chill, none too crazy. That was my plan.
Okay. Did you have any snacks planned?
I had a snack plan, but it was more because I went off plan yesterday. So it was like a bag of Twizzlers. More like the, yeah.
Twizzlers?
Yeah.
Like those licorice things that get stuck in your teeth?
Yeah.
Those things? Okay.
Yeah.
Can you tell? I never really liked licorice.
Yeah.
Especially black licorice. You know, I think that's one of those things people either love or hate. Okay. So did you eat on plan for breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay. And what'd you do for lunch?
I ordered pizza.
Pizza. And what'd you do for dinner?
No, not yet. I didn't have dinner yet.
What
also had a cake for lunch.
Oh, pizza and cake?
Yeah, I went totally off the rails.
Two of my faves. Okay. And dinner, what are you going to do? Are you going into the city or are you going to eat your ramen?
Oh, no, I'm not going to the city anymore. Most likely I'll have the ramen.
No, you're going to have the ramen. Tell me, I'm going to have the ramen. You know why?
Why?
Because you're back on plan.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're having the ramen, right?
Yeah.
Did you have your Twizzlers?
No, because I didn't have it. I was supposed to go into the city, so I was wondering if I went out to the city, I was going to stop by and get it, but I didn't.
Okay, so no snack, or did you have something else?
I had Starburst instead.
Starburst.
So, yeah, it was not really one of my, I don't like saying that all out loud.
Okay, so look here. The stuff in blue, if that's what you had planned, you'd be on plan right now.
Yeah.
So why didn't you plan pizza and cake?
Because I was I'm trying to do no sugar, no flour, because I'm noticing that my energy level has been so, like, it just wipes me out. I've been so tired at work. I've been yawning and feeling lethargic. So I was thinking that if I can get some of that crap out of my body, I actually will feel better.
Have you been successful any days on no sugar, no flour?
I haven't done a habit tracker or anything, but probably not anytime recently.
Then you don't need to be trying that right now. What you really need to do, Amaka, is create a realistic plan. I mean, I'm talking a pizza and cake plan and a Starburst plan. And here's why. Because you need to show yourself that you can commit to a plan without going off of it. That's super, super important. It's always the first step. We get in a hurry sometimes to change our protocol and to apply all these diet rules when we're just not ready to even make a plan yet.
Yeah.
Okay. I think
that was my concern, is that, like, I knew I wasn't trying to do no sugar, no flour because I was trying to lose weight faster. I just felt like I was so lethargic whenever I had flour or sugar. It's like a weird spike and then a complete drop.
That's exactly what does happen. But you can't commit to no sugar, no flour yet because you haven't been able to commit to even to a realistic plan yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see what I'm saying? The realistic plan is not a weight loss tool. It's a commitment tool. It's super important that you learn how to make a decision ahead of time and stick to it. That's why the Twizzlers and Starburst is so interesting, right? That's why options are a good idea, like for your dinner, the wine and cheese if you go out and the ramen if you stay in. Now you know you're staying in, so it's the ramen. But what if you had said for lunch today, what if you had said, I'll have wonton soup or pizza? Then you would have been on plan.
Yeah.
Right? If you had said for snack, Twizzlers or Starburst, you would have been on plan. You have to build the commitment bone first. Okay? Even though your brain is going to go, oh, we can't plan that stuff because we won't lose weight, right?
In a weird way, like, I'm not even as worried about, like, planning more indulgent food and losing weight, because I know there have been weeks where I've planned, but I've waited to negative two. And then if I actually ate things that were more indulgent, but I just stuck to my hunger scale, I would do better.
Exactly. That was, you just took the words right out of my mouth. You plan realistically, you plan all the stuff you know you're going to eat, and then you layer in your 2-2 and you begin to see that you can commit to both.
Yeah. I think I have this weird thing. If I plan healthy stuff and I have one thing that's more indulgent, then I want to eat my way to get to it.
Right. Then you're just going to eat off plan because you're like, I don't really want that.
Yeah. If I have something that I really want or really I'm looking forward to.
Right. So tomorrow, let's do tomorrow's plan really quick. You going to have these oatmeal energy things for breakfast again?
Yeah. Cause I have them pre-made.
Okay. What's going to be lunch tomorrow? Realistically, if you had to decide, if you could see into the future at lunchtime tomorrow, what are you eating?
I still have the wonton soup, so I want to get rid of that. Because I know I'm going to be out of town this week, because I don't want it to be, like, there.
But are you really going to eat the wonton soup at lunch tomorrow? Are you going to commit to that? Right here in front of all these people on this call, are you going to commit to wonton soup?
Because I'm going to be in the office.
Plan realistically.
Yeah, I'll be in the office, so I'm not going to be working from home.
Is that what happened today? You worked from home?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just have it packed.
If you are 100% certain you're going to eat that wonton soup, you can.
I'll post it on the Facebook group tomorrow that I had wonton soup.
You have 80 people here in that post. Probably more by the time this call posts.
Okay. Wonton soup.
All right, and then what's dinner going to be tomorrow night?
What did I have my weekly plan? That probably was a good question. And then I'll just put that in. Oh, let's put 2-2. Because I wasn't sure if I was going to go into the city or not. So,
going into the city tomorrow?
No, not anymore.
So, what are you going to plan? Give yourself a couple options.
A couple options.
Mm-hmm. Are you liable to work? I mean, seriously, after a long day of work, are you going to come home and are you going to cook? Or are you going to stop on the way home? What is your habit?
On Wednesdays, I can cook because I finish work at 4. So the time I get annoyed by work.
So what you got in the fridge to fix?
I have some bootleg lasagna because I just put like stuff together.
That sounds delicious. Any kind of lasagna. You put cheese on something, I'm there.
Make lasagna. I can do the rice and beans mix. I did actually, I'll put for a snack. I bought smoothie mix.
Okay.
So
you need to put the Starburst on there too?
No.
Why?
Because that was a stupid decision that I didn't need, and I don't really eat Starburst. It was like a hedonic hunger. I saw it and I wanted it, but I'm not gonna go to the store tomorrow because I bought stuff today.
Okay. You feel good about that plan? Can you 100% commit to it?
Why am I nervous?
I don't know. Why are you nervous? What thought? What's the thought? I don't know if I can stick to this.
I'm like stuck to this. Mm. I don't know.
Ask yourself, why am I nervous? Do a TDL.
Yeah.
Then ask yourself, am I telling myself the truth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll put in my calendar to post on the Facebook group.
Y'all look for it. Buster Chops. Tell her you love her, whatever you got to do.
Okay.
Amaka, you got much. This, girl.
Yeah.
You got it. Just commit to yourself, right? You are worth it. Maybe that's the other post-it note you ought to throw around the house. I am worth the work.
Yeah, I need to commit to myself, but that's something I don't do yet.
Yeah, commit to yourself. You're really good at committing to your patients.
Yeah.
You show up to work, right? You take care of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I should be able to do this. Let me just put coffee.
No, I can do this. And you're having ramen for dinner tonight.
If I even eat dinner, because I'm not at -2.
Good point.
Yeah. So, thank you very much.
All right, my friend. I will see you later.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, I got Valerie, then I got Brooke. I can't. There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
okay, great.
How are you?
Good, good. I'm calling because I just needed some feedback on something. So I spoke to I had a couple of days off, and me and my husband got in. We were talking like very authentically to each other, and mm-hmm. I was watching like Jane the Virgin, and then every time
you were watching
I watched this show called Jane the Virgin, it's a nice show, and every time I watch it, I cry all the time. So he's just like, "Oh, that's so like you, always like wallowing in self pity, like you're always crying or trying to like listen to your podcast or self help, but that's just a way to like escape a feeling or to make you feel better." So, yeah. So, and he's like, you should be happy with what you have. You have a great job, great career. You have your family, but you always are just trying to like find for the next fix, something like to fulfill your life. But you have everything already.
Okay.
And I think he's right because I've been listening to self help since I was like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and if I'm not doing self-help books, I'm like in school studying something or reading. So I never I don't know, I never spend time with myself. I'm always like trying to find like something bigger than myself.
Let me ask you this question.
Uh-huh.
Would you say that to Corinne, who probably read 50 self-help books in the past year? You should really be happy with where you are.
Yeah.
And listens to, oh, I'm probably going to say 30 podcasts a week, probably more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you, I mean, would you say that to her?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
I think there's a balance that you can achieve here, Valerie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't see the problem with ever stopping the effort to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also be happy in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You can be happy while you're growing, while you're learning. Mm-hmm. You can appreciate everything you have and still work on improvements.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, think about your house, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but my husband just replaced all the, he calls them balusters. I don't even know what that word means, but it's those spindles on the staircase, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing wrong with the old ones, except they were dated, and he replaced them with the new ones. Doesn't mean I don't love my house. Mm-hmm. I don't appreciate my house, but it still means I just wanted to update it a little bit. I just want it to look a little nicer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You can love life where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And still want to improve yourself a little bit.
Yeah. And then he also says that I'm always trying to like, I care too much about how others perceive me and that I should just, you know, be happy with what I am and who I am and just be content with that and not trying to.
I'm going to have to agree with him on that.
And just do me and not care like what other people think. And yeah.
I think there's a balance there too. I mean, mm-hmm. Who was it in The Emperor's New Clothes? Who was it? The Emperor, I guess, who decided he was so happy with himself, he rode down the street naked.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not something you want to be doing because you're happy with yourself, unless you want to get arrested or you're in Vegas. I suppose maybe it's okay there. But there is something to be said for showing up the way you want to show up and authentically the way you want to be and being mm-hmm. okay with that. Right?
Yeah.
So that's another balance point. You can absolutely decide to self-validate,
mm-hmm.
right? To look internally for your own approval rather than seeking it for other people. Because what happens when you seek it from other people, what they say is the C line of your model. Okay, that's the top line, the circumstance line, and you apply a thought to it. Your thought might be, well, that was nice of them to say. Or it might be, I have no idea what they're talking about. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a wishy-washy opinion of what someone else said when you seek mm-hmm. external validation.
Mm-hmm.
When you self-validate,
mm-hmm.
it's all your thought. I did a really good job today is your thought.
Mm-hmm.
Your thought ultimately creates your result in the model, right? So I did a really good job today leads to the feeling of validated, leads mm-hmm. to the action of smile, repeat the next, you know, repeat it the next day. I just lost your video. I guess you have a...
Sorry. No, I have a call. I just turned it off. Sorry.
Which leads to the result of repeating another good day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a thought about what somebody else said, the result isn't repeating another good day. You know, because the thought is, well, that was nice of them, right? That's not gonna go all the way down through the model. So the point is, when you have your own validating thoughts, they're much stickier, and they create much better results for you in your model than these thoughts you have about what somebody else said. And on top of that, if nobody else says anything nice to you for a few days, where's your brain going to go?
Yeah.
You hadn't practiced telling yourself you're doing a good job or you're enough or you're beautiful or whatever it is mm-hmm. you want to validate. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I have to agree with him on that one.
Yeah. I think I'm just driving him crazy with all like the self-help stuff, you know? like the books, the podcast, the calls, everything. Yeah.
Is it driving you crazy? Are you learning from them? Are you putting into action anything you're learning, or are you just absorbing?
I'm absorbing. Mm-hmm. I've been in the tri for a year, and I've been losing weight now. Mm-hmm. And it's because like my birthday's coming up. So I'm like very focused on like losing weight because I'm about to be 42 and I don't want to like stay in the same. So I've been very focused like within the last 3 weeks, mm-hmm. but I've been in the tri for the last year, just absorbing.
Wonder if your husband is not so annoyed by all the self-help you're learning, but by the mm-hmm. fact that you're not doing as much putting it into action.
Yeah. Yeah. He did say, he mentioned that. He's just like, just you listen, you read, but you need to put things into action. He did mention that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All right. So about January or February of this year, uh-huh. we had that program, Big Ass Action.
Uh-huh.
Your homework is to go back and work that program.
Okay.
And what that entails is a big ass action every day for 30 days. And you have to plan it ahead of time. I will tell you this. I have a Marco Polo group. It's called Betsy mm-hmm. and Mary Jo. mm-hmm. Every day we swap mm-hmm. our 24-hour plans and assessments, and we have a big ass action every day still.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Do you have an accountability group?
No. No. I don't like talking to people.
Okay. Well, then... Maybe your husband can be your accountability partner.
Yeah, he's like very deep.
Right. I just got on this call. I know you said those annoy you, but here's uh-huh. what I'm going to do with it. uh-huh. And you tell him every day what your action's going to be. How about that?
In the morning?
Yeah, you go ahead and plan it.
Okay.
And it can, you know, it doesn't have to be conquer the world, big ass action, but it needs to be something that's just a little bit uncomfortable, something you're not doing.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
And you can repeat them also. You don't have to have 31 brand new ones.
Okay.
If it was a stretch for you to do your big ass action today, you can repeat it if you need to.
Okay.
All right.
I feel better. I don't feel crazy. I just needed to talk it out. I'm like, you know, it's
crazy is the feeling line of your model.
I just didn't. I was just like, how am I showing up to the world? And right, showing up like so weird. I don't. But
I don't think you're weird. But that's my fault, right?
Thank you.
You think you're weird?
No, I think I'm pretty. Like I pretty have it. I have it together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little. That's a good little self-validating thought.
Mm-hmm.
Got it together.
Mm-hmm.
You've got them in there. You just need to practice them.
Yeah.
Do a model on that thought. I'd love for you to do a model on that thought.
Okay.
Do you know how to do the model?
I know what it stands for. I haven't.
Let's do the model. This will be fun.
Okay.
What? This is good. This is good practice for everybody listening. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. Put my whiteboard on my keyboard. Okay. So what was that thought again? I feel like I have it all together.
Yes.
Okay. When you say.
I work very hard at that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say that, I feel like I have it all together. That's a thought. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting it in the T line. It all together. What are you talking about when you say that?
Like I meal prepped for the week.
So is this like the basics? Is this your weight loss efforts? PMP program?
No, like work. Like I feel confident at work. I feel confident in my intellect.
Life?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very organized.
All right.
I can execute very complicated things pretty well.
All right. Valerie's life. I feel like I have it all together. When you
except
say
for
that,
the weight loss.
When you say that, how do you feel? Not the except good. For the weight loss part.
I feel like proud.
Proud. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you have that thought,
mm-hmm.
you feel proud, what do you do?
I look for more things to like accomplish and execute, just to like prove to myself that I can do more.
What else do you do?
Get happy. I don't know. I figure out ways to like self. Sometimes I criticize myself.
No, that's another model. You're not okay. When you don't criticize yourself when you're proud.
No.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like a feeling. Like the proudness goes away so quickly. It's just like it doesn't last.
Okay, so here's the model. Mm-hmm. Right? I asked mm-hmm. you gave me the thought. I feel like I have it all together. Does this show up like you can read it because it's backwards to me?
I can see it, yeah.
Okay. And so when I asked you, what are you thinking about when you say that? Mm-hmm. That's how we figure out what the C line is. You gave me a whole bunch of stuff. You got a lot of stuff mm-hmm. together. So I just put Valerie's life up here. Mm-hmm. So when you think that thought, you feel proud. Mm-hmm. And when you feel proud, you do these things. Mm-hmm. You just keep on trucking, basically, mm-hmm. at life, mm-hmm. which results in you show up in life, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what your job is to find ways to apply this thought to weight loss. Mm-hmm. So what do you have together? When we look at PMP, what have you got nailed? You got water nailed? Mm-hmm.
I have my bottle here, mm-hmm. and I've been drinking salsa like crazy. I think I don't do like 8 cups. I might be doing like 6 cups now.
Okay. What about sleep? Are you sleeping?
I have been sleeping better. Yes.
Okay. Are you planning?
I am planning sometimes, not all the time.
Okay. So you could level that up a little bit.
Yes. Definitely.
And when you plan, do you plan realistically?
I try to, but I don't know. That's where the whole food prep has started, because mm-hmm. I've tried to plan realistically and then life happens. And then, mm-hmm. yeah. And then I don't follow the plan because.
Are you anticipating life happening, or are you just putting a bunch of diet mentality into your plan and calling it realistic?
Probably. Mm-hmm.
That's not realistic. Bunch of diet mentality in the plan is not a realistic plan, especially mm-hmm. if you continually go off plan because life happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. I really want you to practice, I feel like I have it all together. Because the more you think that thought, the more you will problem solve your way through to the result line.
Okay.
Okay. And the more actions you'll come up with that mm-hmm. prove that you have it all together. The food prep, mm-hmm. the planning, the sleep, the water, the hunger scale, all the things. Mm-hmm. And then you can show your husband all these things, all this self-help work is mm-hmm. creating for you. Mm-hmm. Sound good?
Yeah. I'm definitely gonna review the big ass action.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. It's a great program. Great program. And I think it's perfect for you. It talks about the difference between passive action and massive action. Mm-hmm. What you're doing with all the self-help is passive action. Okay. It's time to move you into massive action, which is the application of everything you've learned.
Got it. Okay.
Sound good?
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're very
really
welcome.
Really appreciate it.
All right.
Okay. Have a good later. Evening.
Bye.
Bye.
Brooke, you're next. What happened to you? There you are. I can't hear you. Let's try and unmute you here.
Okay. Sorry.
That's all right.
Froze up right as you added me.
Okay. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, I joined in January. This is actually my first coaching call.
Yay. Welcome.
I don't know why I'm so fuzzy. Sorry. I did really good in January and lost like 13 pounds, but then I've been I'm right now sitting at like 9 pounds total. I've been gaining and losing the same 5 pounds over and over. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think consistency has been a problem for me. Also, I end up letting my, like this past week, I ended up letting PMS totally derail me. A lot of times I don't realize until after the week is over or the, you know, towards the end that I'm like, oh, I've been PMSing. Maybe that's part of my issues this week that I was feeling blah, or I don't know. And then I just start having thoughts of like, maybe I'm not capable of this or.
So PMS didn't derail you.
Okay.
You know, this is so common. We think outside forces cause us to eat off plan when it's really just a series of decisions that we're making ourselves, choices that you made. Okay. True. So you know, we have talked, Corinne has talked extensively about PMS week and how sometimes the plan just has to be more realistic on those weeks so that you don't break your commitment to yourself. You plan like you know you're going to eat during PMS week. If you know you're going to have a million cravings, you just put a million things on that plan. And that way you stay on plan and you get to evaluate at the end of the week whether you like how it worked out, whether you like the decisions that you made. Okay, so be really, really clear with yourself that things didn't happen around you or to you to make you eat off plan. Those are every bite you put in your mouth was your decision. Okay.
True.
Super duper important. Once you take ownership of that, you also take ownership of the resolution of that. Okay. So, people who feel like they're failing the program usually are not taking ownership for what they're eating. Okay. It's the PMS or it's the work or it's the stress or it's the husband or the kids or the whatever, you know, it's not the, I sure did eat off plan. Wonder why, how can I fix that mentality? Because that's what we try and teach you guys through the recovery worksheets and through all those other tools is to take ownership of it. Because once you do, then you also take ownership of the fix and you move to the fix that much faster. It's like I was talking to Amaka, right? If she really, really takes ownership of what's going on in her plan, then she can create a plan that she can follow. Rather than the plan should be this, and I don't know if I'm going to follow it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
So,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, when you lost that 14 pounds, what were you doing?
I was doing a plan almost every single day, drinking my water and getting my sleep.
Funny, those basics, right?
Yeah. The hunger scale has been my hardest challenge. I didn't realize how little I had paid attention to that so far in my life, but that's been really good.
What's interesting about the hunger scale is it's probably the basic that takes the longest to really nail, but it's probably also one of the most important basics.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Yeah, because if you stop overeating, you lose weight. I mean, boom. Done. It's just pretty much the secret.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah, and I was so tied to meal times and all of that. Really didn't know how to listen to my cues at all. Yeah, so I'm making improvement on that. I think I just tend to, when I feel in a funk or I feel off, I tend to just kind of unplug from my accountability group. I don't do a plan. I don't listen to podcasts and I don't know how to catch myself, I guess, in those moments to get.
Why do you think you do that? Why do you think you unplug when you go off plan?
I mean, I've always been really good at avoidance.
Why? Why are you avoiding when you go off plan? What are you feeling? Avoiding is the action. Feeling comes right before the action. What are you feeling? Yeah,
the feelings are what I'm usually not good at.
Embarrassed? Shame?
Yeah, probably. Maybe just wanting to rebel and not have any accountability for it.
Yeah. So when you think about rebelling and not wanting any, I mean, is that the thought? I don't want any accountability. I just want to do what I want to do. Rebel, well, eat.
I often, when I've done recovery sheets, what I come to is I like to numb. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to feel anything. So I don't think about it a lot, I guess, is part of my problem.
Why don't you want to feel anything?
I've realized through this program that that is a big problem for me. I don't think I realized, I even knew how to even identify feelings before I started doing more thought work. I think because I don't like feeling out of control. And when I have,
why do you associate feeling a feeling with being out of control?
I don't know. Maybe because I think that's what people perceive me to be, as someone who's in control.
Okay. Let me explain something to you here. Let me explain something. If you are actually feeling your feelings, mm-hmm. and allowing them to be there, you are 100% in control.
Yeah.
If you are buffering or eating instead of feeling, you are not in control. You are, right? I mean, think about it.
That's really,
if you are like pushing away the feelings and you're eating instead, what are you controlling? Nothing.
That's so true.
If you are thinking your thoughts and feeling your feelings and allowing them to be there, you are 100% in control, even if you're crying, because you are allowing yourself to be you and authentic and vulnerable and being in the moment and controlling everything around you because you are absolutely you.
That's it. I like that.
Yeah.
Definitely write that down whenever you listen to this.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes when I talk about my feelings is when I get emotional, mm-hmm. and that makes me feel, because I'm not a naturally emotional person, or, you know, I don't.
Do you even know if you are? Maybe you are emotional
probably
person.
My accountability group probably thinks I'm a crybaby. I think I cry more than any of you. But because when I talk about my feelings, I tend to cry, mm-hmm. but I don't tend to talk about my feelings a lot, I guess. So maybe that's why I don't cry a lot normally.
Do you think it's embarrassing to cry? Do you not like to cry? Is that the problem?
I don't know.
What do you think Corinne thinks about crying?
Yeah, that's true. And she's very strong. Very strong.
She's super strong.
Yeah.
She's super strong though, because she feels her feelings. And because she emotes, she allows herself to emote and be vulnerable and be real. That's full acceptance of herself. And that's what makes her strong and in control.
I like that.
Yeah. That's when you are fully married to the person you are and aware and love the person that you are, then you can emote in front of other people and be okay with it. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I'm a crier. I'm a big time crier. I don't cry on these coaching calls. I don't know how, but I cry all the time.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen you cry.
Let me tell you something. I can't even watch American Ninja Warrior without crying.
Yeah,
I see some of those little clips and I'm like, oh my gosh. Somebody hits the buzzer. They're crying. I'm crying. I just can't. I just emote. And it's just that physical way my body feels that happiness for them or that pride for them or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being a crier because allowing myself the physical response to a thought, physical response to a thought is a feeling, is somebody else loves American Ninja Warrior, is authentic to me. That's who I am. And I'm good with that. You know, because I read this book. Have you read You Are a Badass?
No.
I'm pointing over there because that's my bookshelf.
I have seen that at the bookstore.
I want to read you something. Hang on.
Okay.
Okay, y'all, I'm back. Here's this book, You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. Okay? She has my favorite quote of all time in any book is in this book. And I have it tabbed here. It's appreciate how special you are. There will never be anyone exactly like you. You were given special gifts and talents to share with the world. And even though everybody has special gifts and talents, no one will use you theirs quite the same way you do. You have a way of being in the world and a perspective that's unique to you. You are the only one who thinks your thoughts the way you think them. You have created your own unique reality and are living your life according to your own unique path. You are the only you that will ever be. You are kind of a big deal. I get goosebumps just thinking that. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is suppressing the real you by not allowing yourself to feel. So this beautiful uniqueness of Brooke is not showing up in the world if she's not feeling.
Yeah, and that's interesting because my initial why was to fulfill my purpose because I wasn't sure what it was after, see, here I go. you know, my daughter, once she was grown, I kind of felt, well, I was a single mom and that was my purpose. So, you know, I kind of felt like my health was keeping me from whatever my purpose was. So that kind of what you just read kind of ties into that or what you just said.
So while your daughter was at home, maybe that was your purpose to be her mom.
Right.
And, you know, purposes change. Let me tell you, purposes change. My purpose for 16 years was to be the best fiscal and budget director for the public defender system in Tennessee that ever was. And I was.
Yeah.
And then my purpose took a big shift.
Yeah. Big right? shift. Yeah. I'm a government accountant, by the way, but
Yay. So that's where the work is. Be authentic to yourself, feel your feelings, figure out who you are. And then be that person and feel those feelings. Read this book.
Yeah, I think I will. Get it.
It's in the bookstore. KIT.com.
Okay.
/ fit and fat. Super easy to find. It's one of the best ones. Seriously, one of the best ones I've ever read. If you like audiobooks, I don't know if you read or do audiobooks, she's really funny reading it too.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. I like audio too.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
I mean, we kind of went off on a path here.
Well, I was afraid I would do that because I wasn't exactly sure why I was calling, but I knew that a coaching call might challenge me to redirect myself. Yeah. So.
And while you're doing all this, finding yourself and your feelings, write your plans, be consistent, tell yourself, what is today? August 14th?
13th.
That's right. 13th. Tell yourself you're going to do a 24-hour plan every day for the rest of the month. And you're going to tell your accountability group, this is what you're doing.
Okay.
Every day you show up and tell them, I've done my plan. And it's realistic and I'm following it. Got it. Okay. I'm good. And I'm crying.
And I'm crying. Yeah. Well, I did challenge myself to do one every day for 30 days. I had some slip-ups last week. So
Just get back on that horse. On that's right. Now you can do one for 28 of the 30 days.
Okay. I will. I appreciate it, Kathy.
You're very welcome.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Kimberly, you're next.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I've never coached with you before. I'm so excited to see you.
Well, I'm excited to see you. What's up?
So I am looking for some guidance with making a vacation protocol.
Okay.
I'm going on vacation on Friday.
Okay.
And I joined in April. Mm-hmm. And I was really doing like a deep dive on my data from since April.
Okay.
And in April, May, and June, it felt like the weight was kind of just falling off. Everything was going well. Mm-hmm. And then things really stalled for me in July and now into August. My goal wasn't huge. I only wanted to lose 25 pounds and I'm hovering at about 22, 23 and just going back and forth and back and forth. Mm-hmm. So in going through all of this data, I realized that I maybe lost some touch with my plus two. Okay. I think that I was eating much smaller portions when the weight was coming off more quickly. But I tend to struggle much more with wine than I do with food. Wine is my vice. And I've been going through mastering drinking. I have an amazing accountability group. And so I've cleaned up a lot of the thinking around drinking. I've definitely been drinking a lot less. And so I was kind of like, what is going on? Why is this weight stalled, even though I'm making all of these positive changes? But I think I've drilled down on the fact that I really need to plug into my plus two much more than I was. But now I'm about to go on vacation and I don't, you know, I'm so close to Queen's Club. I'm so close to my goal. And I just don't want to get back from vacation and be 7 pounds away instead of 2 or 3 pounds away.
Okay. So realistically, what is your goal for vacation? Maintain or lose?
I think it would. So my goal, when I started doing all of the assessing at the beginning of August, my goal was to reach my, total goal, which was 25 pounds lost by the time I went on vacation, which is this Friday. And then I will have over a week, I think it's 8 days after I get back. So I wanted to still be at that 25 pound goal at the end of August after everything is done.
Okay.
That being said, I don't think I'm going to reach the goal of 25 pounds lost total by this Friday.
But you got 22 of them, right?
22 or 23, depending on the day.
That's pretty good.
I'm right there, but I've been right there for like a month and a half and I'm not getting past that goal line. So,
So what you're doing right now then is maintaining.
I think
you really need to hone in on that plus two. Cause that's probably what's happened is that your body has said, you know what? We've lost 23 pounds. We really don't need as much food, but we're still eating the same amount. So we're just going to maintain.
I think so. That is becoming clear. And with this vacation, you know, the culture of my family, so I'm going with about 20 people. It's all of my family members, cousins I haven't seen in forever. And we're all really into food and everybody loves wine. Everybody makes cocktails and it's just like the vacations are always just a big blowout. And before PNP, I would have just, you know, joined in on all the fun.
Right.
And so now, you know, knowing what I know, I definitely want to be more mindful, but I also really want to enjoy myself. I want to enjoy the food and the cocktails. So how do I make both of those things match up?
Well, the vacation protocol is a great idea. You need to decide ahead of time what your constraints are for vacation. Constraint is a rule that you set yourself. Okay. So it can be anything from these are the foods I will allow and these are the foods that I won't. Let's say you decide you don't want anything fried on vacation. No fried foods.
Okay. I don't know if I'm quite there yet.
Just work with me. Just hypothetically speak. All right. Maybe you say you don't want any seafood.
Okay.
Okay. That would be me. I'm not a seafood person. Even when I go to the beach, I don't really eat seafood.
Interesting.
Or you say, I'm not going to snack on vacation, or I'm not going to eat after dinner on vacation. You know, go ahead and commit to some rules that you know will help you stay in maintenance. Okay?
Okay.
Other thing you have to do, Kimberly, is you have to plan your drinks ahead of time and stay on plan.
That's what I'm most nervous about.
There's no going into the day going, well, I don't know how many I'll have today. There is a plan that, you know, and it could be, and I went to, you know, I went to Las Vegas for the first time.
Right.
I never plan this much. I never plan 4 drinks. I'm like a 1 drink person and I'm asleep. But I decided we're going, going to the pool. So, and I knew it was an all day thing. So I planned 4, but I told myself I could have 4, but I had to have a big glass of water in between each one.
Okay. That's something that I've been doing, you know, for summer parties and weddings. That's definitely my first drink is always non-alcoholic and then I alternate and that's been great.
So
that's not back to.
That's something you probably want to put on your vacation protocol. The vacation protocol for everyone listening who hasn't heard the podcast is basically that list of things that's just a little bit different from your regular protocol if you want it to be. So that instead of losing weight, you're maintaining weight. Okay. So you're going to allow probably a little bit looser protocol on vacation than you would at home. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah, I would say so. Okay. And I just think the structure of my day is going to look very different. I, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm home, I work from home and I have two little kids, so it's, you know, I can kind of make my own schedule. So it is breakfast around like 11:30, lunch around 3, and then dinner after my kids go to bed around 7:30. And mm-hmm. that's kind of it for the day. I don't snack. And then it's, you know, whether or not I allow myself any wine,
yeah,
which increasingly it is no. But that's it. It's, you know, it's this like tight little schedule. But on vacation, it's, I know people are going to be making cheese plates in the afternoon and making cocktails at 5 o'clock. And
yeah. So you know, this is where you decide if the cheese plate is lunch or if lunch is lunch. Mm-hmm, cause you've already mm-hmm. said you're not going to snack.
Right.
So yeah. just because the cheese plate comes out doesn't mean you have to eat.
That's true.
Right?
In theory.
Just because yeah. the cocktails are being made doesn't mean you have to have one. I would think it would be really interesting for you. Are you, is this an 8-day vacation?
It is, yes.
What if you told yourself you only drank 6 of the days?
Oh, yeah, that's an idea.
Uh-huh. It's just an option. It's one uh-huh. of those things you can consider as you write your vacation protocol.
Yeah, okay? It is. And, you know, it's funny because I am, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. I had, before I found PNP and knew about all this thought work, I had had wine so wrapped up in like comfort and self-care at the end of a long day with two kids. And I have totally separated that out. I know that that's BS now. Mm-hmm. But when thinking about this vacation, I'm like, but I want to have fun with my family.
So and what does fun mean?
I know intellectually that mm-hmm. I can have fun without
right?
either one.
Right.
I also want to drink all the drinks and still uh-huh. maintain my weight. So I, uh-huh. you know.
And that's where you come back to the decision point. Mm-hmm. Do you want to maintain your weight or do you want to drink all the drinks? Because chances right. are both of them aren't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
So in the moment of that decision, do you want that 14th glass of wine or whatever mm-hmm. it is? Is this what I really want?
Yeah.
Or do I want to go back and, you know, have the same mm-hmm. size pair of pants? That would right. be me. I'd be like all about, I was telling the girls at Transformation Weekend, my compelling reason these days is I just want to be able to wear my pants. Mm-hmm. I like my pants.
Yeah.
I don't want to have that.
I never want to go back to where I was.
Right. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think I also, like, I want to wake up in the morning and go for runs a couple of days. And that is not, right. that doesn't work with 14 glasses of wine.
Right. Right.
So yeah, it's just sorting all of it out. Mm-hmm. I don't know about this only drinking 6 days thing, but we'll see.
And so maybe it's 2 of the days you only have 1 drink or 2 mm-hmm. drinks or something. I don't mm-hmm. know. You get to decide that. And you'll also get to evaluate as the week goes on if you like the way things are working or not.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
know,
let's
point.
Say you have 6 drinks for the first 3 days and you wake up and you don't feel like running and your pants are tight.
Right.
All right. You'll be like, this is not going well for me. I don't like mm-hmm. it. We're changing it right now.
Right.
You know, that's where you get to make that decision as well.
Okay, that makes sense. I've already committed to making my plan and assessing my plan every single day because I know I'm going to be really tempted not to do that. And I think mm-hmm. that's an easy thing to just yeah. keep me.
Yeah, that's a good
my head thing. In the game.
Yeah. Here's the other important thing about a vacation protocol is when you, I would go ahead now and write your reentry protocol as well.
Okay.
What you're going to do when you come back into town the day you come home. When you okay. go to the grocery store, what are you going to fix? What are you going to eat? Mm-hmm. You know, some people don't go to the grocery store as soon as they get home. If you've got a 12-hour drive, you're not going to feel like going to the grocery store at 9 o'clock right. at night, but yeah. you might have to have something in the freezer to pull out to feed
Ready
yourself.
To go. That makes a lot
right?
of sense.
And something for the next day. So you mm-hmm. want to have a plan to get yourself right back on normal protocol the minute you get home.
Right. So we're not ordering pizza just because we're tired.
Right. Right.
That makes sense. Okay, that's a good idea.
Okay.
All right. So hopefully it goes well.
You can decide now it's going to go well because these are the things I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. don't be hopeful. Don't be hoping. Hoping is the absence of action. If you're yes, hoping, you're not doing anything. You're hoping mm-hmm. it. You're hoping it happens.
Don't yeah, and I've never even, you know, I've certainly never gone into a vacation with a plan before. Mm-hmm. So. I think that's half the battle right there.
Absolutely. I hope you have a great time. Where are you going?
Thank you. We're going to the Outer Banks, Nag's Head.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, that sounds, all right.
Well, sounds awesome. Keep my fingers crossed your weather is good.
Yeah, it looks like it will be. So.
Good. Good.
All right. Thanks for your help.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Bye. Jen Joe 50. Then Melissa. Okay, there's your video. I think I have your audio too. Hi. Are you there?
Hi, I'm Jen.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Nice to meet you. I'm a new tribe member. I started in June.
Nice to meet you.
I started the free group in the beginning of January.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, you have a shaky connection. Can you move? It looks like you're in a closet. Are you?
Let me go closer to the internet.
Yeah. Hold on. Go closer to the router if you don't mind.
All right. Entering the teenage son's room. Is that any better?
Yes, that seems to be a little better. Yeah. I want to be able to hear you.
Absolutely. I have a puppy dog with me too.
Okay.
So I think I've lost 27 pounds so far from the beginning of January.
Awesome.
I started with the free course in January and then joined the tribe in June. Mm-hmm. What I'm finding lately is that I am an all or nothing person.
Okay.
When I'm in it, I'm in it all day. I'm doing my four. I'm following my plan. I'm following my protocol. And then all of a sudden I will just shut the book and I completely forget about it. I'm like, PN what? And then it takes me a week or two to kind of go, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay. So why do you shut the book? Let's start there.
I don't know. I think I'm a single mom. I got two teenage boys. I am going through a divorce. I'm a nurse, so I work 16-hour days, 3 to 4 days a week. So I think I'm really accountable and on demand for everyone. And I think that just kind of, it tires me out sometimes. And then I realize I don't have time for myself.
Okay, so that's the problem. It's not the all or nothing thinking. It's that you're not remembering that you're as important as everything else, probably more.
Exactly.
Because you have to show up for yourself in order to show up for all these other things.
Seriously. Right.
If you don't get out of bed in the morning, you're not going to work, you're not taking care of the kids, you're not doing the food, you're not doing the anything, right?
Right. And that's not an option.
Right.
I feel like it's not an option for anything else in my life, but it's an option for me.
So showing up for yourself is just like getting out of bed in the morning. You know, you creating a healthier you through planning and hunger scale and the basics and, you know, showing up every day is only going to improve how you show up for everyone else, right?
Yes.
So when you go off plan and you shut the book, air quotes, shut the book, why don't you just get back on plan the next meal?
That's what I struggle with. I don't know. I struggle with...
If you had to guess, what, why would it be?
I honestly don't know. I think I get so caught up in organizing everyone and being on demand for everyone that I don't have it in me for myself.
What if you just decided that was an excuse not to pay attention to yourself?
Yeah, of course.
Because it's real easy to say, I have to take care of everyone else. I'm not going to do this plan today and go eat whatever you feel like eating.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's the easy part of that. So, I mean, how... doesn't take long to create a plan, right?
No, not at all.
Is your plan, when you create a plan, it's like, I mean, this is what everybody eats, or are you eating something different from everyone else?
No, like I have big you know, days when I'm at work. So I have like my work protocol. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, and even when I'm not opening the book, that piece stays strong. Mm-hmm. Like I have my coffee in the, I have an hour and a half mm-hmm. commute. So I have coffee in the morning. I have, you know, yogurt at noon. I have a salad at 5. I mean, that I am not necessarily going face down in, you know, all okay. the cake, because I have, you know, pretty strong boundaries when it comes to that. But then over the course of a couple of weeks, you know, with the kids, you know, they're 13 and 16. So, you know, it's summertime, they sleep in. So I still start off on protocol and I start off on plan. I just don't write it down. Okay. And then it slowly starts to deteriorate.
So why is it deteriorating? Tell me what's happening during the day when it slowly starts to deteriorate. What's going on?
Just not having things written down and the time, I think.
Oh, but the eating part.
Yeah, the eating part will be, it's noon and I haven't had anything to eat. And I'm, you know, dropped off picking up another kid and I'm starving.
Okay, so you just pull in a drive-through instead of waiting to go home?
Yeah, yeah. Or an ice cream sandwich. I mean, I don't, you know, fast. I don't really eat a whole lot of processed food, but... Mm-hmm. Protein bar. It's not necessarily a lot of quantity of food or poor quality of food. I mean, when I do eat, I'll overeat on my portions mm-hmm. because I'm not paying attention and because I just honestly don't care sometimes.
No, I think you care all the time. I think you're just ignoring. You're just like, this, you know, I'm off the rails, so I may as well just stay off the rails. I think is probably what's happening. You're allowing the slow degrade to go into, well, I've already messed up. I may as well just keep going.
Right. Yeah.
Rather than saying, okay, I had an overeat. Let's do a recovery worksheet. And now we're back on plan.
Right. Right. Because when I am in the program and going full speed, I don't even really need to do recovery sheets because I hold my
difference. Yeah.
You know, and then
because you're not overeating and you're not eating off plan.
Right.
That's what makes the recovery worksheet so important for you.
Okay.
So, cause I'm trying to figure out what's going on when you're eating off plan and you can't tell me. And it's because you're not spending any time thinking about that. What happens with the recovery worksheet is when you go off plan, you fill out that recovery worksheet, you know exactly what happened.
Right.
Okay, that's your data.
Yep.
Then you get back on plan, then it happens again, you fill out another recovery worksheet, you have some more data that you can go back and compare now. All right, yep. So what happened both times? Oh, look, I yelled at the kid, or the kid, you know, stayed up too late, or whatever happened. You start to see the similarities, and then you go, okay, next time I know how to handle this because I see this pattern now. I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's why when you have an overeat, you immediately hit that recovery worksheet and say, this is not a slippery slope. This is me getting back on plan. Okay. Right. So you're out and you're running around and you're taking this kid here and that kid there, and you get too hungry and you run through a drive-thru or you eat ice cream.
Yeah.
Recovery worksheet. How would I, you know, this is what happened. How would I fix this next time? What would I do differently?
Okay.
That puts your brain in that problem-solving mode, right? Mm-hmm. I can figure this out mode. And then you're not 2 weeks off plan. You're right back on plan and you're figuring out what the next steps are. You're learning how to live life.
Yes.
Real easy to stay on plan when everything is nice and structured at work.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Yes. I have a hard no. I don't. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can have a hard no at home too. You just got to figure out where the hard no is.
Right.
Because it's not as structured. And figuring out where the hard no at home is done by good, healthy assessments.
Okay. I have never journaled or planned in my life before.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle with that. And I know that I would be hollered at by the queen for saying that, because I know that's so important. But I feel like at work, I have hard no's and I don't need to write things down.
Mm-hmm. So
I feel when I'm home, I should be able to function like a human being and not go off plan without having to put the pencil to the paper. That's wrong.
There's some judgment. There's some self-judgment right there.
In what way?
In what way? I should be able to do this.
Right.
Right? That's judgment.
Yeah. But shouldn't I? Don't people do that?
Maybe some people have to learn how to do it, and that's okay.
Okay.
When you say I should be able to.
Yeah.
It's like saying I should weigh 120 pounds too. Right. Or I should be able to climb Mount Everest, or I should be able to, you know, it's judgment. It's like where you are right now isn't good enough. Right. You know, it's the word should is not a good word. Right? I mean, it's laden with judgment and with, you know, I'm not good enough because I should be doing this, right? That's what you just said. I should be able to do this, but you're not. Right. And that's okay. You just have to figure out how to do it.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you why you should plan every day at work.
Okay.
Because your brain will start seeing you have success in planning.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Every single day you should do a plan and an assessment.
Okay.
Because this is how your brain starts putting together the fact that you can do plans and assessments every day and you can stay on plan. Or you can tweak the plan so that it becomes something you can stay on.
Okay.
And then you layer in all the recovery worksheet is an assessment of an overeat. It's just another assessment tool that helps you move forward in order to figure out how not to overeat
right.
for 2 weeks, not to go off the rail for 2 weeks.
Not to go off. And I have done them in the past, and I've kind of found it to be matter of fact. I think that's just the way I am. I'm like, yep, I came home and the boys had ordered pizza and I put one in my mouth and it tasted this and it was off plan.
Yeah.
But
and the thought was, see, this is what you didn't do. You went straight to the action.
Right.
You went straight to, the pizza was there, I ate it. What did you think when you saw the pizza? Did
you think? That's good.
Yeah, right. Or maybe you thought, I don't know when I'll get pizza again.
Right.
Or maybe you thought, the boys shouldn't have ordered pizza. Maybe you blamed the boys. There's all kinds of things that were trigger thoughts that you probably need to be watching for.
Okay.
Right?
So dig deeper on the recovery
sheet. Yes. Okay. Don't just pay it lip service. Do the recovery worksheet.
Okay.
They're super good tool. I have a stack of them myself.
I find I do that with the thought downloads and the models too. Like I write my intentional model and it's just so matter of fact, but I don't think it's deep enough. I'm not quite sure how to get deeper into that piece.
Try this. Try asking yourself, how do I feel?
Yeah.
Okay. Sad, happy, tired. And then ask yourself, why do I feel this way? And write for 5 minutes. I can't tell you the number of thought downloads I've done that have started with, why do I feel sad? Because I had a hard time getting in touch with why I felt sad. I just had this low-level sadness all the time. And I didn't know why. I was like, just sad. Just down today. I don't know why. Right?
Yeah.
But when you start thought downloading why you're sad or why you're angry or why you're tired over and over and over, eventually you'll figure it out.
Okay.
All right. Start with the feeling. The easiest way to.
Yeah, I'm sad because of this, but then I just feel sad. And it's that action to get out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you don't want to feel sad. You don't want to project that you feel sad. When in fact, you really just should feel the feeling and you should understand where it comes from.
Right.
Decide if that's appropriate. Sometimes it's okay to be sad. You lose a loved one. Yeah. And you need to feel sad, right?
Right.
So that's where you get to decide, well, this is the reason I feel sad. I feel sad because I eat pizza. Well, should I feel sad because I eat pizza or should I just get to work on it, right?
Right.
So that's where thought download helps you evaluate why you're feeling what you're feeling. And then you can decide if that's really what you want to be doing.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, I will not shut the book for the rest of the month.
No shutting the book.
Okay. Thank you so much.
The book, if the book starts to close and you have an overeat, you just open it back up and get right back on plane.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome. See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Melissa and then Kristen. Unmute. Hello. Uh-oh, I can't hear you. I have you unmuted, but I can't hear you. Do you have something that says join by audio or join internet audio or something like that, maybe? No, I can't see you or hear you. I can't hear you. Tell you what, I'm going to take you back to attendee, go all the way out of the Zoom and come back in and look for join internet audio, and I'll take you next after the next person, okay? Kristen?
Hello.
Hi. I can hear you.
Excellent.
Good. What's up?
So, first of all, I'm glad that I was able to hop on this call. I'm not usually available for office hours. So
awesome. I'm glad you're here too, then.
Yeah. So I am an April baby. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason I was so excited to join PMP is because I had two big goals that I wanted to accomplish. One was obviously my weight loss. Mm-hmm. And the other one was to get a promotion this year. Mm-hmm. And I was excited about PMP because I knew that this program would be able to help me achieve both of those things. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I really struggle with at work is a lot of buffering and procrastination.
Okay.
And I've taken the buffering course and I've taken the time management course, and both of them have been super helpful, but I'm having kind of a hard time connecting the buffering course in particular to my life at work instead of just my weight loss. So I'm hoping you can help me with that.
All right. Tell me how you buffer at work.
I do a lot of mindless internet surfing at work. Or like working on personal things at work when I should be working on work things.
So why do you do those things? Why do you mindlessly surf the internet at work?
I think part of it is to avoid tasks at work that aren't my favorite.
Okay.
I also kind of have this feeling like I have a lot of like feelings like I'm kind of a fraud and that I sort of landed in my position by happenstance instead of because I've worked really hard to get there. So I deal with a lot of like imposter syndrome at work.
Is that the truth? Did you earn your way into your job?
Yes, I did.
Then why do you tell yourself you didn't?
Oh man, I don't know.
If you had to guess.
I think it's because I know that I could be performing a lot better than I am.
That's the key. That's the key. You know what you're capable of, and you're not meeting your own capability.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And in the middle of all that is probably the stuff that you're just not crazy about doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Don't we all have tasks like that? Everybody on this call who doesn't have tasks at work or at home that they just don't love.
Yeah.
Right? So isn't that part of the job?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So if you want to show up fully for your job, what do you think you have to do? What do you have to think to show up fully at your job? Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do the, you know, the model.
I do know the model.
I'm going to do a fun model trick. We're going to work it from the bottom up.
Okay.
Ever done that? This is my favorite way to work the model.
No, I don't think I've ever done that.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We got work in the C line.
Yep.
And the result is show up fully.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you have to do to show up fully at work?
I have to do the stuff that I don't like doing.
You have to do all the work.
Yep.
Right? What else do you have to do?
I have to be confident in my ability.
Okay. So you have to self-validate. What else?
I have to be consistent with my time management skills because that's been really helpful.
Manage time. What else? Anything else?
I think I also probably have to be better at delegating at work.
Okay. Delegate. Anything else? You have to get along with people?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Well, but you still have to do it.
Right, yeah.
Get along with people. Okay. So there's our action line. We have just layered in the action line, right? All these things.
Mm-hmm.
So to do these things, what do you have to feel? One word.
I'm going to go back to confident.
Confident. That's why I didn't put it in the action line. I figured it would come up in the feelings. All right. Now we have confident in the feelings line.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to show up at work and to do all these things, you have to feel confident. What's that one thought that leads to confidence?
So it's funny. My powerful thought for the time course is I can do big things on purpose. And I feel like that really applies here.
Yeah, it does. I love that thought. I might actually borrow that one.
Please do.
I think I will. Every now and then I get a nugget off these calls. It's really good. I can do big things on purpose. Okay. So here's our model.
Yeah.
Now we'll, wait a minute. Let me count my pen here. We'll talk about it in the traditional way for those who are listening. So we have the work line is Kristen's work. The thought line is I can do big things on purpose. When she thinks that, she feels confident. When she feels confident, she does all the work, including the stuff she doesn't like. She self-validates, she manages time, she delegates, she gets along with all the people. And when she does those things, she shows up fully at work. Okay?
Yeah.
Procrastinate is not in the action line, is it?
No, it's not.
Buffer is not in the action line.
Yeah.
So when you see yourself thinking about the internet, this is where you decide, am I going to show up fully at work today or not?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Am I going to do big things on purpose or am I going to buffer?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want that promotion or not?
Right.
Right? All you can do is show up fully every single day.
Yeah.
In hopes that you get the promotion. The promotion is somebody else's model, right?
Right.
Give Kristen a promotion, the result line in somebody else's model.
Yeah.
But they have to have a thought about you showing up fully.
Right.
And they may or may not have that thought if you're bouncing around on the internet or buffering in some other way.
Yeah. No, that's very helpful.
That's how you apply it to work. You know, when you find yourself on the internet, you ask yourself, is this how I show up fully?
Right.
Is this how I get my promotion?
Awesome. Thanks, Kathy. That's really helpful.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I love the model. And I love working it from the result lineup because a lot of times I know what I want to achieve.
Right.
And figuring out, you know, going back up the model and figuring out the thought at the end really does. It really is helpful to me. And I love that thought. I can do big things on purpose. It's going on my, when we're done here, it's going on my post-it note on my monitor. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. See you later.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. Melissa's back. Good. I hope I can hear you now. Then Alicia, you're after Melissa. I think I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good job. Good. Darn settings.
I know it. That's what happens. But thank you for going out and coming back in and fixing that.
Oh, thanks keeps for giving moving. Me another chance. Sure.
Keeps us rolling. So what's up?
Well, I have a thought that I've been kind of dealing with that I thought maybe I could use some help with.
Okay.
And I think I identify with you a lot because I do a lot of not good enough thoughts. So
I'm really good at those not good enough
thoughts. That's what I thought.
That's one thing I'm super good at.
Yeah, that's really good. So I've been working, actually you mentioned that Jen Sincero book, and that kind of started my summer of like self-development, and I loved it so much. I've listened to it twice this summer and inspired me to like, how am I going to live my best life? And a whole lot of thought work. So I'm a teacher and I'm going back actually tomorrow. So trying to get this in right before I have to get real busy. But I have a lot of kind of family drama from when I was a kid that I'm not using as an excuse or anything like that. But I was listening to her book for the second time, and something kind of came up that I hadn't thought of before as maybe being a thought that I'd been leaning on. And just a little tiny bit of background. When I was a kid, my mom was in her 40s. She lost about 70 pounds. And my parents got divorced very shortly after that. And it wasn't because she lost weight, but they kind of, you know, grew apart and had different interests. And a big part of hers was getting healthy. And so I wonder if I'm not attaching myself to this thought that losing weight leads to divorce or leads to separating from my husband or something like this. And it was just kind of a blip in my thought process, and it's really been bothering me. So I thought I'd call you and maybe see if you could help me figure this out.
Let me ask you that. Is that about that thought? Do you think that's the truth?
No. In fact, you know, I've even talked to my husband about it, and I'm like, and he's like, that's ridiculous.
Okay.
You don't love you any less if you lose weight. That, you know, don't be silly. But, you know, not minimizing my thought or anything, but just kind of, you know, trying to reassure me. But
well, here's the thing about thoughts.
Yeah.
We have, how many does Hikrin say? 60,000, 80,000, some astronomical 30,000, more than we can count thoughts every day. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some of them are habit thoughts. Some of them are thoughts that are based on our past. Some of them are thoughts we've heard someone else say. Some of them are the crazy that we come up all by ourselves, right? They're not always all true, right? Sometimes our brain just has a sentence in it that's just not true. Like, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Right? So if you know the story then of me writing down, like, just all the different places in my life I wasn't good enough. I'm not good enough, you know, coach. I'm not a good enough wife. I'm not a good enough mother. I came up with like 9 of them. It was either 7 or 9. I don't remember. None of them were true, but they were still all thoughts that I think or thoughts that I did think at the time. Thoughts that are still going to come back up probably at some point, but I don't have to believe them. Mm-hmm. I don't have to let my model go all the way to the result line. I can just stop at the thought and say, you know what? That's not really the truth. And that's not really one I'm gonna play around with today. You can do that with this thought about losing weight leading to divorce. Mm-hmm. You can question it. Corinne talks about, and she has encouraged, especially us on the team, to question everything we believe. Okay? And it's I don't know, for me, it was very overwhelming to think about questioning all my thoughts. But what that really means is when you have a thought like this, questioning whether or not it's the truth, whether or not it's something that you want to believe, whether or not it's something you want to change, does it really hold water in your life? Well, you already got the evidence that your husband doesn't believe that because he told you, mm-hmm. right? So you can look at this thought when it comes into your mind and say, you know, I just don't think that's true. I just don't think I want to spend any emotional energy with that thought today. And then just decide you're not going to act on it. If you were to do a model on that thought,
I've tried, I've got completely stuck. Like, I just don't know where to go after
that
thought.
Well, how do you feel when you say, if I were to tell you, you know what, Melissa, if you lose that weight, you're going to get divorced?
Oh, totally scared.
Fear, mm-hmm. right? Then fear leads to what actions?
That's where you get stuck.
Well, you're afraid. You hide, right?
Yeah.
You run for the hills. You separate yourself from whatever's, you know, bothering you. In this case, the fear is losing weight mm-hmm. because it's going to lead to divorce. And the result is that you really divorce yourself from your weight loss efforts.
Well, that makes sense.
That's where that thought takes you. Okay, if you let it go all the way to the result line in the model, what you can do is see the thought and say, you know, I'm not afraid of that thought anymore because I know that's not true. That way you're not judging the thought. You're not, you know, saying I shouldn't think that. You're not judging yourself for thinking it. You're just saying that's not a thought I choose to think anymore. It's like Corinne talking about on the podcast, talking about how for years she had the thought, you know, Chris is going to leave you.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere. You should see the two of them together. Okay. There is no doubt in my mind. They are 100% devoted to each other. But that doesn't mean the thought doesn't come in her head. She just says, you know what? You don't get any emotional energy today.
Just stop it there.
Yeah. You don't judge yourself for having it. You understand that it's probably going to come in, just like my I'm not good enough is going to show up sometimes, especially when I make a mistake, and I make mistakes. I'm going to think, you'll never get this. You're not good enough. And I'll have to stop and say, if you sit in this space, you're not going to get any more work done today. And that's just not an option.
Yeah. And that's what you do with I'm not good enough, because that's the other record that, you know,
I do.
Just stop it.
If I play with I'm not good enough long enough, guess what? Mm-hmm. I'm not doing my work, which means I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. So I have to just say, what can I learn from this? All right, I made a mistake. That's okay. What can I learn from this? It's just like doing a recovery worksheet for my brain. The other thing I tell myself is when I get feedback, just like I was telling Amaka earlier in the call, when I, you know, and feedback for me, you know, is not a, you know, sometimes it's great job, Kathy, but sometimes, you know, you really should have done it this way, or absolutely no, we're not doing that. That's an opportunity to learn. Yeah. You know, when you do a recovery worksheet, you're giving yourself feedback so you can learn. When you think this thought, you're mm-hmm. giving yourself feedback so you can learn. You're saying, no, I don't think I want to think that today. There's your feedback thought. We're moving on.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
It does make sense, doesn't it? It's a really, really powerful thing you can do for yourself to allow that thought to be there mm-hmm. and know that it's going to be, because it's, you know, it's just part of this crazy brain of ours that has like 50,000 of them every day.
Yeah.
And we just say, you know what, that one's no good. Let's try the next one.
Yeah. Maybe it's better.
Yeah. Hopefully. If not, we'll just move on, because there's 50,000 of them in there.
That's good.
Okay.
That helps a lot. Yes.
Good. I'm glad.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate it. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Alicia, you're next.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello. Hi.
Thank you for helping me this evening.
Sure.
If you hear banging, my kids are looking for me. They might knock on the door and I'll skedaddle.
Are you hiding from the kids?
Yeah. So through no fault of my husband's, the company he worked for went bankrupt mm-hmm. and he found out abruptly And so he is the breadwinner of our family, and I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
And the reality of the situation is we have some money in savings and other money that we could get out to live on if we had to, if he didn't find something quickly. And he's had, I don't know, like 4 interviews already and has 3 more lined up. And I mean, it couldn't be a better scenario, if that makes sense on that part. But my brain and my body is in freeze and freak out mode. And normally when situations come up that are big that I don't really have control over, mm-hmm. I would use food to buffer and make myself feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last 2 days I've been face down in the potato chips,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that this time. I've learned too much through PMP,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I'm in the forest and I can get out easily, but I just keep running into the same tree.
Okay. So you're just trying not to feel this fear.
Yes.
What are you afraid of?
My mind goes to worst case scenario. Like we're going to lose our house. We're going to have to return our cars.
Okay.
But that's not even where we are.
Okay. Here's what you have to do, Alicia. You have to recognize the fear first.
Okay.
Okay. What you're doing is resisting it. It's just like an urge to eat. Feelings are so important to just feel. Mm-hmm. Because once you feel them and you feel them pass through, like when you feel fear, tell me what it feels like in your body. Your heart beats.
It's like I'm standing in front of a crowd and I have to give a speech and I haven't prepared anything. And my body, my arms, my legs are just full of adrenaline in my stomach.
Yeah. Your stomach hurts. Your muscles are all tensed up and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever, do you cry?
Yeah.
Okay. So you cry when you're sad?
Yes. Probably.
All right. When you start crying, mm-hmm. cry for a little while, then you stop, right?
Right.
That's the way feelings work. And it gets better. If you allow yourself to feel the fear,
okay,
it's going to come on like a wave. You're going to feel like you're standing in front of all those people. You're going to feel the tension, and then it's going to ease back out, just like you stop crying. Just like a wave goes back into the ocean.
Okay.
All right. You have to feel the feeling and acknowledge it
mm-hmm.
and decide if that's what you want to feel. If you resist it, you avoid it, you push back on it, it's just going to keep coming back. It's not going to be resolved. And what you're doing by eating is you're resisting the fear.
Yes.
So you have to feel that first.
It's not helping like it used to before P&P.
It does. It's never helped.
No. But it literally
never helped.
No, I just
don't even tell yourself it used to help because it really never did. You just have enough awareness now to know that it's not helping.
Yes.
Okay. You have to, you have to feel the feelings in order to realize that it's going to be okay. Because the more you feel that fear and the more you feel it ease back out, the more you realize you can handle it.
Okay.
And then once you've handled the fear, then you can move to, I know everything's going to be okay because we're going to work it out. We're going to figure this out. He's got 7 job interviews so far, right? 4 he's had, 3 he's got coming up.
Yes.
Right? So it's okay to be scared.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Okay? It's okay to be scared. You have to feel that feeling. You have to honor it in order to move away from it.
I think part of me saying, I'm shaming myself for feeling so scared.
Mm-hmm. You're judging the feeling.
Yes.
That doesn't help either.
No.
Right? Why can't you just be afraid for a few minutes? Just be afraid.
Okay.
Okay? And then when you come back out on the other side of it, you can decide if it was really helpful to be afraid. What did you solve when you were afraid?
It's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stuck in it.
You're not
like my body, my feeling.
You're stuck in it because you won't feel it.
Okay.
You're stuck in it because you're eating instead of feeling it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have you talked to him about your fear?
Yes. And he's not worried at all.
So can you use his not worriedness as evidence that it's going to be okay?
Yes. usually I'm the one that handles all this stuff and he's the one that freaks out. But on big things, he doesn't freak out.
It's because he's got confidence and he knows he's going to take care of his family.
Yes.
So maybe that's what you do. Your fear is we're going to lose everything. That's mm-hmm. the thought in your fear right. model, right?
Right.
What if your thought was, what's his name?
Reiner.
Reiner has told me he's going to take care of this. Mm-hmm. What if you just repeat that? Reiner has right. told me he's going to take care of this, because that's the truth.
Yes.
Right? We're going to lose everything is a disaster plan. It's yes, not the truth.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So when you hear that, we're going to lose everything, you feel your fear. Mm-hmm. And then you say, you know what? My husband's a good guy. He's going to take care of this. He's committed to taking care of this.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Okay. I trust you and I will do what you say. I'm going to feel it. Because yeah. today I did cry over it and I watched the mm-hmm. feeling leave. Because I watched one of your calls about someone yeah. with grief and you watched yeah. the feeling come in and you watch it leave.
That's exactly so. What happens. I did that. I probably described the first time I did it when I lost my dad. It was like 3 months after I lost him before I really, really let myself cry. I feel the tears coming. I don't know who's been waiting for me to cry, but they're coming now.
I'm sorry about your dad.
Thank you. But it was so eye-opening to me to just let it all encompass me, let it all, you know, not resist any of it. To let it just come in and let my body totally react to it and let my tears come and let my grief come. And then on the back side of it, to feel it all just ease back on out was mm-hmm. almost stinking liberating. It was like, oh, this really does work. The grief really did ease back out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I really think you could do that with this fear, but you have to let it come all the way in and then let it go all the way out. And then you tell yourself at the back end of it, look what I did. I can handle this. I've got this. And in the meantime, my husband's taking good care of me. Because that's what I do.
I think I've been afraid of my reaction, because in the past I would just eat and have to buy bigger pants and feel like I couldn't handle anything, even though I was handling it, mm-hmm. But eating through it. And so this time I thought, okay, well, I don't want to eat through it. Mm-hmm. So I've just been paralyzed. So I'm going to feel it.
Yeah. Maybe this is the next level up to you handling yes. it too. You know, you handled the actions. You just yes. didn't handle the fear. You didn't handle yes. the feelings. This is the next level for you. I have a strong feeling you're going to be just fine. You're going to feel this fear and you're going to come out on the backside of it. You seem very open to this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You all helped change my life. So I'm open to anything you all tell me to do. So thank you.
We wouldn't lead you astray.
No. And my husband thanks you too. I bought Oreos today and he goes, I know what this means. You can only get a few and I'm going to throw the whole bag away, because this is your old pattern. You don't do this anymore.
Oh, what a good guy.
Yeah. So. Uh-huh.
What a good guy.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're very All right. welcome. All right. Bye. Take care. Bye. Oh, that feelings work, y'all. Okay. There are no more hands raised, but there's a question over here. So let's see what we got going on. Question. What page is that quote on? Okay. The quote was in You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. It was on page 55 in the chapter Love the One You Is. Seriously, y'all, this is a great book. In fact, one of the girls I coach privately, I'm going to read her that quote, because she needs to hear it too. So I've answered that question. This might have been the first personal development book I read. And you can see I have several things tabbed. Because I want to remember what it is. I think my husband read this too. He thought it was good. She's written a couple of other books. Oh, look, there's one here there's a chapter on procrastination and perfection, y'all. We've talked about some of those things. But seriously, if you haven't read it, I strongly, strongly recommend it. Anything else? Who else has a question for me? Anybody else or wants to talk to me for the last 10 minutes? Can you put that quote in the tribe page? Sure, I'll type it into the tribe. Absolutely. It's a good one, isn't it? Back when I started coaching, there was a coach, my coach actually, that worked for PMP. Her name was Jane. Corinne talks about her periodically. She's still very good friends with Jane, although Jane has gone on to do other things. Corinne and Jane are still very close. And when I read, I always wanted to be Jane, y'all. Jane is very athletic. She's very thin. She's very smart. She went to the life coach school and got certified with Corinne. She was my coach. I always looked up to her just in a huge way. I always thought, if I could just coach like Jane, if I could just be like Jane, you know, that whole compare thing, right? I never, never lived up to Jane. And then I read this quote. And you're the only you that will ever be. You're kind of a big deal. Just spoke to me in such an emotional way. It was the first time I realized that I could be Kathy. I didn't have to be Jane, right? That Coach Kathy had her own special, unique qualities, her own special, unique way of coaching, of talking to people, of showing up in the world, of doing big things on purpose and all that. And that's I think that's why this quote is so special to me, so important to me, because it was the first time I realized I didn't have to be Jane. I could be just as good being Kathy. So that's why I keep it tabbed. I read it. I read it frequently. Roz, hey, Roz says, on the Ultimate Recovery Worksheet, the question, are you willing to let go of judgment, has confused me because I may be overthinking. What is judgment? Judgment is all those things you tell yourself when you overeat. It's the opinion you have about yourself when you overeat. So when you say, am I willing to let go of judgment? When you're filling out that recovery worksheet, are you willing to do so from a place of open-mindedness, clean space is what we call it. That's the coachy term. But basically what it means is without the beat down. Okay. So if you're filling out your recovery worksheet from a place of, I'll never get this, I'm not good enough, I shouldn't have eaten that, you know, all those are judgment thoughts, right? You have to look at your own overeat like I would. That's the best way to explain it, like a coach would, you know, just analyzing it, asking yourself questions about it, thinking about it from that perspective. So without judgment means taking the beat down out of it, taking the shame and embarrassment out of it, and just looking at it as, you know, a series of events, a series of thoughts, a series of things that you did or said to yourself without saying, that never should have happened, or I shouldn't do that, or I'll never get this, or I'm not good enough, or any of those thoughts that tend to come in when we have an overeat. Look at me. I did it again. That's judgment. Okay. Does that make sense, Roz? Let me know if you have other questions about that. All right. Anybody else have a question? Oh, there's a hand. Let's get Meg real quick. We got a few more minutes. Hello.
There is only one you, by the way.
Yes, there is.
And there's you're very only good one at me. What you do, so
thank you.
No,
thank
putting yourself you. Down on that.
I don't anymore. But good. That was very, very early in the whole thought work experience.
I bet.
Kind of like you guys as newbies. I was a super newbie.
Yep.
So what's up?
So. This is an easy program. Like, this is so easy that I've lost 8 pounds every month since March. until I went on vacation.
Okay.
And I came back, and ever since I have struggled to follow my easy program. And I don't know why. Don't know what I'm not doing, what's disconnected.
That you just haven't gotten back on plan.
Yeah, well, I have, and I haven't, and I have, and I haven't.
No, you haven't. If you haven't, then you're not committed to the plan. You're not back on plan. So why not? Why wouldn't you commit to plan again? Don't say, I don't know. Let me tell you about I don't know. If you ever say that in front of Corinne, you'll do burpees.
I don't do burpees.
Or bear crawls, or wall push-ups.
Something else, but not burpees.
You'll be berated. But seriously, when you say, I don't know, it's like putting up a total roadblock to your own wisdom. It shuts your brain down and it says, oh, we don't know. We'll just stop working.
No, I have lots and lots of data, and I'm up to like 160 something 24-hour plans and lots and lots of recovery worksheets. Every time I step off the plan, step off the reservation. And I have things. I keep my journal next to me to keep me from, you know, to make me write before I get up. And then when I forget to put it there, then I get up and I go find something to eat.
So why won't you commit back to getting, why won't you commit to getting back on plan?
I can't say it. Can't say those words.
Well, that's what you need to figure out.
Yeah.
Because it's just a choice, Meg. That's all it is. You know, if your journal is not by the bed in the morning, I bet there's a little thought in your head that says, I wonder where that journal is before you go to the kitchen.
No, I'm good until I sit in front of the TV at night.
Okay.
And if I get my yoga in, then usually I'm okay. I don't mess with anything. But then there are those nights that just, it's like the script flips and suddenly I think I need something else to eat. And
it doesn't flip.
I know, my brain does.
You make a decision to eat. That's why you're not committed, because you're deciding to eat. Each of those decision points, when you eat, when you know it's not on plan, is a decision that you're making. You need to own, rather than saying, well, something happened, or the TV's on, or the journal wasn't there, or the this. You're blaming instead of taking ownership.
Mm-hmm.
You take ownership of every single decision. You fill out a recovery worksheet. And I keep pointing over here because that's where mine are. The bookshelf right there.
I can point over there because I've got them too. And matter of fact, I started putting them on my tracker just to note how many I was doing each and every day.
That's a great idea. Mm. I heard on a call not too long ago, somebody actually clips a recovery worksheet to their chip bag with their chip clip. And I thought, that's brilliant.
It is. Now I just need to put it on the cereal box.
That's what it is. Yeah. You're just having a series of decisions that you're blaming on outside circumstances, on the TV.
So how do I get past
whatever?
That.
You start telling yourself, this is a decision I'm making. I'm going to eat right now because I've decided to.
And then hopefully that's going to catch me and make me think before I actually do it.
Yeah. And then when you eat, you do a recovery worksheet, non-negotiable.
No, those are non-negotiable. I do them every time. They're piling up.
Are you reading them?
I do. Okay. I go back and read them, and they're beginning to pile up. And it's not that I had perfect each and every month since May or March or whatever. It's just that something in my brain kind of, I guess I feel like my brain just went back to that same pattern.
Don't blame the brain.
Don't blame the brain.
Don't blame the brain. You're just deciding to eat. When you create tomorrow's plan, I want you to write across the top of it, there are no excuses today.
No excuses.
Yeah. I'm deciding right now that I'm staying on plan today. Your plans are realistic, I guess. Mm-hmm.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm staying on plan today. And every time you have an urge to go get the cookies or the chips or the whatever it is that you're eating, you think to yourself, I'm staying on plan today. And this urge is going to feel like crap, and that's okay.
Okay.
Because I'm staying on plan today. because I don't like this anymore. I don't like this. I wouldn't get wouldn't get on a coaching call irritated. If you like this behavior.
No, you're right. I just
You would be like, it's okay. Kathy can just talk.
Nah. Right? No.
It's all about that dialogue inside your brain. It's all about answering the urge to eat or the urge to, you know, watch TV, you know, while you snack or whatever. It's all about answering it.
Or not.
Yeah. Well, or how, you know, you right now you've been answering it by eating.
Yeah.
You can answer it by saying, I'm tired of these results. This is not the results I want.
Yeah.
This is not how we're doing this.
Yeah. I'm not ready to stop losing weight. Totally not ready to do that.
That's a beautiful thought to write across the top of your plan. I'm not ready to stop losing weight. And that's your own thought. That's not one I came up with.
That is my own thought.
I have sounds like a good one to thoughts. Me.
All right.
That help?
Okay, that it does. Yes. I figure maybe this will also help hold me more accountable to myself. I have accountability sisters and they're awesome.
Yeah. You need to tell them about this thought of yours. I'm not ready to stop losing weight. That's a good one.
All right. Cool.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. That's a wrap. There's one more question. Let's see what we got here. Oh, nope. That was Roz. And Roz says, I answered her. Awesome. All right. You guys have a great rest of your night, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.